blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Now, it's a bold move to be a guest in someone's house and to be calling out their hospitality. Personally, if I was in Jesus' place, I wouldn't be doing this. But actually, Jesus looks around the room and he sees what hospitality really means to his host. It's a room filled with the host's friends and family, and important people that he wants to be seen associating with. Now, Jesus' words cut straight through this. Again, he challenges and completely reverses the culture of the time. Don't invite those rich neighbors with the fancy house, or that one person that always brings the best food to the potluck. Those with enough to pay it back. No, he says, invite the outcast, the marginalized, the oppressed. This is Jesus' vision of true hospitality. Not one that's self-seeking, that only cares about what it can get back. We don't give with the expectation that we'll be repaid in this life. That's not generosity. See, friends, the motivation behind the Pharisees' hospitality is wrong. It's not shaped by grace. Jesus is calling us to pay the price for our hospitality in this life. As we invite these people outside of our usual circles, there is a cost involved. It might be money or comfort or status. But we're asked to show the grace already given us by God, giving a gift that we don't expect repayment for, being the first to reach out to those who need it. And again, we see how God will bless those that already live this way, similar to the exhortation in verse 11. We are promised, you will be paid in the resurrection of the righteous. He asks us to practice hospitality in a radical way. And with that, he offers us reassurances. Once again, Christ models it for us. Titus 3 says, Jesus saves us not because of the righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. No repayment, simply grace. Not only are we given Christ's example, but also we know that God sees what we do and that it truly matters to him. See, it's a humble and it's a generous hospitality that we're being called to. Now, if you were at this dinner party, I'm sure you can imagine the sort of tense feelings you might be having. Sitting there, both the guests and the hosts rebuked by Jesus. But one of the guests, he speaks up. He says in verse 15, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Now, maybe he's thinking at this point, I'll just say something kind of nice and agreeable and we can all move on. Well, Jesus isn't done challenging the Pharisees tonight. And it's from this, he tells us a parable to answer the question that the Pharisees actually assume they know the answer to. Who will feast in the kingdom of God? Have a look with me in verse 16. Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who'd been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I've just bought a field and I must go see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I've just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I've just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master." Now, when a banquet would be hosted back in this time, an invitation would go out weeks in advance, a kind of save the date, if you will. And then the guests would respond and to the invitation, and they'd make the appropriate preparations. Then, on the day of the banquet, a second invitation would go out. A call that the time had come. The banquet was ready. So we read the excuses in verses 18 to 20. I think we're actually meant to see just how ridiculous they are. There we go. Are you really trying to tell me that you went and bought a field without bothering to inspect it before handing over the money? They'd be like jumping on Facebook Marketplace, refusing to go for a test drive, and paying full price for a beat-up Ford Falcon. Or the man with five oxen. Are the oxen so weak and sick that if you don't get your money's worth today, by tomorrow they'll be gone? Even the married man. You'd had the invitation. Did you not know the date of your own wedding? Did you not plan ahead? In all these excuses, we see mirrored the issue of pride in the Pharisees before. These guests who are so honoured to be invited to the master's banquet are instead so swept up in themselves and the importance of their own matters. Let's go on to verse 21. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame." "Sir," the servant said, "what you've ordered has been done, but there is still room." Then the master told his servant, "Go out to the roads and country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who are invited will get a taste of my banquet." See, the master wants people at his banquet. All the time, the planning, the food that he's prepared, all the love and care that he has poured into this banquet, he won't see it go to waste. So what is his solution? It's to go out to those on the fringes, to go out to those in need and invite them into his house. And when that's not enough, when the servant comes back and tells the master that there is still room, the master replies, "Go out further. Go to the streets and the roads outside the city. Go and tell them the news. Invite them in so that my house will be full." See, where we saw the pride of the Pharisees mirrored before, we now see the wonderful, hospitable generosity that Jesus spoke of mirrored here. Jesus takes that question, who will feast in the kingdom of God? And one final time, he reverses the expected order. Let me tell you in no uncertain terms, God is this master. He has sent out an invitation to us all. Come, for everything is now ready. Friends, Jesus came, he lived, he died, and he rose, all so that we can hear and accept this invitation. See, we speak of humility because Jesus humbled himself for us. We speak of costly hospitality because Jesus already paid the price to secure our place at God's table. And just like that master, God longs for his house to be full. And he's asking you to come and take your seat, to take a place of honor at his table. See, the guest who speaks up in verse 15 is right. Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God. But see, when he says this, I don't think he understands it all. because there is also a sad truth that there is a price for those who have rejected this invitation. Verse 24 tells us that the guests will be excluded from the banquet. Those who rejected Jesus won't be part of his kingdom. So as we start to think about how this passage should affect us, As we start to think about how this passage should affect us, the thing that I urge you most is to answer the question, where do you stand with Jesus? Have you been keeping him and his invitation at an arm's length? Are you just now seeing that God wants you in his house? If that's so, please dig into this. Ask questions and find out more. You're at a perfect place to do so. And for those of you who have accepted, well, we can praise God for his hospitality, can't we? And we can also assess and challenge ourselves in the same way that Jesus does the Pharisees. Do we find ourselves living in a bubble of our own pride? Are we seeking human validation and praise over the praise and exaltation of God? Maybe for you, it's a bit of the classic Australian humble brag. Oh, I barely studied for that test. I don't know how I aced it. Or, damn, it's just so hard finding parking with charging for my brand new Tesla. Very relatable struggles. See, are we looking outwards to how we can think of others before ourselves? And as we've been challenged on hospitality, maybe one or two of you are thinking that you're about to cancel all of your plans with your friends because that's what Jesus said to do. Now, I don't think that's quite what Jesus wants from you. It's okay to have a nice dinner with your friends, but there is a genuine call to reflect. Are these the only people that you show hospitality to? Can you reach out further past your friendship circle, past your comfort zone? I know for one of my friends, the way that he's been putting this into practice is by offering to buy groceries for people in needs that he meets in his neighborhood. Maybe if money is a limiting factor, or you don't have your own space to host a luncheon or a dinner, then you need to get creative with how you understand hospitality. Can you be hospitality in the way that you make friends, in the way that you welcome outsiders? Can you show them God's love and kindness? Or can you find other ways to serve? An offer to help with a burdensome task is itself a way to extend hospitality out. And as a church, we're called to the same things. And I'm very encouraged when I look out at the Selfs community and I can see all the ways that we put this into practice already. Whether it's opening our doors to drop in for free milkshakes, whether it's growth groups that share meals together, that invite people in to join them. And it's the prayers and support that's offered by each member and community per member in our church. These things display how we reflect God's hospitality. So can we remember to stay vigilant and be mindful of this by continuing to welcome everyone in and being a church that encourages and strives for the gospel-shaped hospitality that we've seen in God's word. Let me pray to close us off. Father, thank you for the risen Lord Jesus. Thank you that he has the name above all other names. May we go out into our weeks confident with our seat at your table secured and looking to show Christ's hospitality to others. Amen.